right, everybody, you have been listening to a little Rachmaninoff. That was the third piano concerto in the Thomas Vassery recording. Much as our subject today would, as we'll discuss, hate to be paired with a Russian composer, I nevertheless think that Rachmaninoff, this composition, was written around the same time as the novel we'll be discussing today, and I feel like there's something. I don't know anything about music at all, really, and can't speak intelligibly about it, but as there is no recording of Conrad's voice or anything like that, I thought I'd return to beginning with a little music, and I think there's something in the Rachmaninoff, the famous piano concertos, that is somehow plays a similar role in the history of art and culture that I see Conrad playing, a kind of late romanticism in quotation marks, the kind of late romanticism straining to be modernism, straining to be something else, in denial that it is a late romanticism. I don't know anything about music. I do like Rachmaninoff. Supposedly that's sort of a plebeian taste or a fascist taste. I think Ayn Rand and a Bronze Age pervert favor Rachmaninoff, but he was one of my first classical composers when I started trying to listen to more serious music in my earlier life, and so I will confess to enjoying Rachmaninoff myself. In fact, Bronze Age Pervert, I think, has Conrad as his favorite novelist, too. So we're in all sorts of fascist territory. But we're heading into modernism. You think it's going to be bad with Conrad? Just wait. We have Yeats and Lawrence coming up. So, Conrad's, most of the way there, too, as we'll see. But don't worry, I'll pull him out of that. But, we're in dangerous territory. We're in the early 20th century now. We're almost entirely out of that Victorian period. And with Conrad, for the first time, I think the nightmare of European history is about to break in upon us. Conrad is an English writer by adoption, and we're going to see that he comes out of that nightmare of European history from which the English were sort of isolated due to their literally insular status, notwithstanding the nightmares they inflict on others, which we'll also touch upon maybe today, and certainly when we talk about Irish figures like Yeats and Joyce. So, as you might have guessed, the subject today is Joseph Conrad. This is The Invisible College. I am John Pistelli, your host. This is my series of literature courses for paid subscribers to my Substack, grandhotelabyss.substack.com. You will want, this is probably the free portion, so you will want to go there and offer a paid subscription so you can hear the entirety of this episode as well as the entirety of the archive we are building going back to William Blake. We've crossed pretty much over a century now. We're moving toward modernism. We're going to spend the summer reading two great novels, Ulysses and Middlemarch. Then we're going to head to American literature and kind of cross the 19th and 20th centuries again from the American perspective. So there's all sorts of exciting things happening. You will want to offer a paid subscription at grandhotelabyss.substack.com. At the very least, you will want a free subscription so you can keep up with my weekly newsletter on literature and culture that's increasingly popular and I think increasingly discussed. You will also certainly want to read my new novel, Major Arcana, available in print on Amazon.com and available in a variety of electronic formats, including a Kindle version available on Amazon.com, a serialized version for paid subscribers of my Substack, a PDF version for paid subscribers to my Substack. If you'd like to review it, just send me an email or DM me on Substack and I will send you some kind of a free version. If you're just no offense, but if you're just an independent operator, I'll send you a free PDF. If you want to review it for, the Washington Post or something, I'll get you a print edition. So with all those advertisements out of the way, this is an episode on Joseph Conrad. I am going to specifically focus on his novel of 1907, The Secret Agent. I do believe in many ways, though nothing in Conrad's oeuvre is going to displace Heart of Darkness, as the central work in that oeuvre and the central work in many ways of its era, because Heart of Darkness is so iconic and so archetypal and so much the definitive treatment of imperialist themes from the English or the European point of view for all the controversy and critique it has attracted. It's in many ways so much the paragon of the early modernist novella. And I will touch a bit on Heart of Darkness in what is coming up. And I have a very long essay on Heart of Darkness at johnpistelli.com. Go to the review index, go to the fiction section, go down to Conrad. I have a long review essay on Heart of Darkness covering anything you'd want to think about with that book, which is one of the reasons I didn't want to just do it on this episode. I didn't just want to repeat something I've already said. And so that's one thing. Heart of Darkness will sort of always remain his central work. And also, I figured a lot of people had already read it. It's very frequently assigned. When I was in my day, as an old man, in my day, they even assigned it in high school. I imagine those days are gone for two reasons, one being the themes of the novel being perhaps too hot for our era. And also, I think they've just maybe watered down the curriculum in terms of the types of historical literary styles they're exposing the young to. But nevertheless, it's still very widely assigned in college. I was assigned that book in high school, in college, in grad school. I probably read it 5 times just being assigned in school, just over and over again. And so it might be a little played out, is what I'm saying. And I do think, I've not read all of Conrad. He was prolific with Conrad, as with a number of the authors in this survey, like Shaw or like Dickens. I've read plenty, and I have a sense of the author, and I've pretty much read everything anybody says is their masterpiece, but I haven't necessarily gone into all the secondary work. So that's where I am with Conrad too. And I do think, of everything I've read, it's really the secret agent that is Conrad's 21st century novel. It's the most, I think it's the book, for a variety of reasons, most appealing to a 21st century sensibility, and keeps going on being relevant to our 21st century lives in ways that even Heart of Darkness, even though we're still talking about imperialism and racism and everything like that, I think Heart of Darkness maybe belongs more as a historical document to its time. Whereas The Secret Agent, it seems to me, really is about our time in a lot of ways. We can really see the way in which things have and haven't changed. Politically, it's a political novel. You know, we've been talking about how, you know, since the very beginning, is all art political? Is all art not political? I'm definitely on the side that says all art is not political. But this is a capital P political novel. It's about even the maneuvers of states and people trying to affect state policies and things. So this is a political novel in the most literal sense. It's about politics, and I think it's about, in many ways, what are still some of our politics. So I'm going to get into that today. Most of today's episode will be a kind of consideration of that novel. I will talk about Conrad's life story. It is a dramatic life story. But I don't know how much detail I'm going to go into on that. My lecture is titled Agent Provocateur. That's a phrase, of course, that occurs in the novel The Secret Agent. The Secret Agent is, in fact, ends up being about an agent provocateur. So what is an agent provocateur? An agent provocateur is a person who infiltrates, you know, a criminal organization or a political organization from the outside with an ulterior motive. It's an entryist, an infiltrator, and encourages them to become more extreme and, in fact, to commit illegal actions, and does so to expose them to legal penalty or to discredit them. So an agent provocateur is an infiltrator into an organization that's trying to undo that organization from within. You know, the colloquially now we speak of feds, federal agents, and we know, I think we can admit this, that all extremist organizations in America are infiltrated by federal agents. I mean, somebody said, like, 75% of the Ku Klux Klan people in America are federal agents. It's just a meeting of FBI agents. And, and we see that across extremist groups, quote unquote, of the left, of the right, etc. So this is a very common tactic of state. I don't want to get in trouble. We often talk here on the Invisible College, where I sort of talk around the subject of conspiracy theory, or as those in the community prefer to call it, parapolitics. That is what forces outside politics are maneuvering what looks like the political spectacle to us. I would just ask you to notice that Conrad in this novel pretty much it takes for granted and expects us to take for granted that, you know, a terrorist attack is likely some kind of false flag, that there are conspiracies of state behind radical and extremist organizations. Conrad takes a kind of parapolitical view for granted in certain ways in this novel, and doesn't seem to to stigmatize it as mere conspiracy theory. But we'll get into it. We'll get into it. I do have my usual, my customary slideshow to help organize our conversation and to help to provide excerpts of texts that we can look at. Remember, one of the themes of The Invisible College is there's a lot of podcasts that are about art and culture in general. I wanted this to be a little more tied to texts. Both to encourage people to read particular things. People are always asking, well, how do I get into Oscar Wilde? How do I get into Joseph Conrad? And so I want to suggest an entry point and then kind of walk you through that entry point. And insofar as I can, I know more about some of these authors than others. Insofar as I can, I use that entry point as a vantage on either the whole work, if I know that, the whole corpus of the author, or more generally, the author's place in literary and cultural history. And I think I will be able to do that a little. The Secret Agent is an atypical Conrad novel. And that's one of the reasons I like it. One of the reasons I like it so much is going to sound a little bit stupid, but I appreciate that it's not set on a boat. Conrad, he hated this. He hated to be called a writer of the sea. He didn't want to be associated with a genre fiction. That would have been a popular genre at the time. He didn't want to be associated with that kind of low-class genre fiction. He thought his aims were more serious than that of a writer of sea adventures, like whomever, people we don't read, Captain Marryat or whomever. Or, you know, Robert Louis Stevenson, who is in his own way a great and formidable writer, but also a writer of sea adventures. He didn't like that. He hated to be associated with the sea. But it is the case that many of his works and most famous works take place on boats. And I find the literature of the maritime experience often has, we'll see this with Moby Dick, of course. Moby Dick takes this to an extreme. Conrad hated Moby Dick, by the way. But the literature of the maritime experience often has long passages that are just very blank to me. You know, he gaffed the yardarm toward the starboard part of the mizzenmast, and you're just sort of, your eyes are just passing over. You know, one could learn, I suppose, but I don't care that much about boats. So I appreciate that this is a great city novel. This is a great London novel. This is a great novel of the modern and the modernist urban experience, which I find is a topic I'm more interested in and can maybe relate to more than